You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
You are listening to RNIB Connect Radio, and it's time to talk our beloved furry companions in our weekly Guide Dog Blogs chatter. Nice and feel-good start. We are joined this week by Gary Mazin. Gary, thank you for joining us.
No problem. It's lovely to be here.
You're on your third guide dog. We will talk about your first one, though, today. We'll talk about Gibson in a minute. When you first chose to apply for your guide dog, for your first guide dog, you know, what made you decide that? What made you think, actually, I would rather have a guide dog rather than a cane?
Yeah, it's interesting, actually, because a lot of people ask me that, because some people are very anti, sort of, oh, God, you know, must be a lot of a hassle having a dog, and, you know, surely a cane's much easier. But I'm one of those people that just never, ever felt comfortable with a long cane. I used a cymbal cane for many years. I even found that a bit difficult, if I'm being honest. And obviously, a cymbal cane does not help you. It just lets other people know. I've got quite bad balance myself because of my condition. So I, firstly, mentally, just sort of thought, as soon as I tried having a dog, it just gave me sort of peace of mind, really. And I used to love dogs growing up. We had one. So, yeah, I think it just sort of makes me feel comfortable and more assured and helps with my balance. And, yeah, so the first time, because obviously guide dogs try things out, and I used a sort of a harness without a dog, which was a very weird. It's like having a ghost dog. But that felt okay. But I've never felt fully comfortable with an actual long cane. I'm very tall, quite clumsy. So me swiping a long cane along the pavement, I just felt very weird, and it never felt comfortable doing it. But then as soon as I started with a dog, instantly I had a sort of connection, and it just felt right for me.
Let's talk about Gibson then first. That was your first guide dog. What was your matching visit like when the first time you met Gibson? Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, Gibson was actually an interesting one, because I was told that there was a, you know, going to be quite a long wait, as there normally is for guide dogs. But then within 6 weeks, I actually got a call from my instructor to say, you know, we've got a dog, he's been with a man who's unfortunately become ill, he's the same build as you, you know, would you be interested in seeing if you match, kind of thing, and you get on. So Gibson was already a working guide dog, so he was around 2.5, and he came over. My kids at that time were quite small. Gibson was a huge, big, black Labrador retriever, like a very, very big dog. I think he was like over 35 kilograms, so really big hulking dog, but he was soft as, you know, like a puppy. He was so gorgeous. And I think it was just an instant bond, really. I just remember that very first time I walked with him, because he was used to walking, and an expert, like, dog, you know, we trained with other man. So for me, it just really felt natural. So I was very, very fortunate that I still had the training with Gibson. But because he was already an existing guide dog, it was very much training me and just how to, you know, train with him. So that first meeting was quite amazing, really, because I didn't expect it. It was all out of the blue. So literally within 6 weeks, I got the call, you know, and then, like, he was my guide dog within 7 weeks.
What's Gibson's personality like? You know, what's he like as a person, quote unquote? You know, he's very soft.
Yeah.
Mentioned. What else can you tell me?
I get quite emotional talking about Gibson, because he's no longer with us. He unfortunately died in service quite young, only 8 years old, but he was a fantastic dog. He was very alpha, so he used to, off the lead, off the harness, he used to bark at other dogs. Everyone, all the, you know, obviously other humans used to think he was quite aggressive because he was a barker, and get up in the grill of other dogs, but he was like harmless. He was a harmless, you know, like I say, you know, when they say about Labrador retrievers, you know, they've just been soppy. And with humans, he was so good. My children were quite young at the time. He was actually also, out of all the three dogs, I had the closest bond with. So he connected with me directly, which was lovely, but it also made it difficult. So, for example, if I ever wasn't around, he used to whine and get very upset. So much so that I literally just once went to a toilet with my son, and I used the cane to guide me because it was a very small little area and wasn't big enough. And my daughter was just holding Gibson. And then when I came out, he was so excited to see me. And it had literally been 5 minutes. He literally pulled her over. So it was a bit awkward because, you know, obviously you're meant to take guide dogs everywhere, but he was so connected to me. It was lovely. So it was very upsetting when he unfortunately He was discovered of having cancer when he was 8 years old. He was a very lumpy dog, which is quite common for Labradors and Retrievers. I was working him on an August bank holiday, and he just had a little bit of a cough, and then went to the vet, and they just basically did an X-ray, and they found that he had huge tumour. So there was no real choice in the matter when it came to it. But as a guide dog, he was fantastic.
What were his particular good working skills? You know, when he worked, what particularly stood out to you from his abilities?
Yeah, well, I think things have changed quite a lot, because we're now talking like 15 years ago since when I had him. So the actual way of working, obviously now guide dogs are much more positive reinforcement. He was just a naturally a very good working guide dog. So like I say, I think it was me that had to be trained up to know how best to work with him. But from my memory, he was, out of the three dogs, the one that was the best at just intuitively understanding very quickly what I can and can't see. He picked up on that. Because I'm partially sighted, so I have some vision, and I think he just picked up on that. He was very, very good at navigating, you know, through busy areas. We used to go out quite a lot, and he was always really, really good at navigating. And the kids were young, and so it gave me that independence to also be able to sort of, you know, walk when we were going as a family places. I mean, he went to some amazing places that you're not meant to take guide dogs to, really. I mean, the only thing is, we went to, I remember once, Warwick Castle, and he nearly got attacked by an eagle, which was quite interesting. And they told us to best not to hang around, because the eagle's got eyes for him. And I was like, oh, okay. But yeah, he was never really fazed by anything, you know, and as a working dog, he was just, you know, took him everywhere. Never had any problems with him at all. So obviously, you know, I think we all look back on, you know, the first dog with rose-tinted spectacles, but he was a very, very good guide dog. And so I didn't have him for a huge amount of time, but when I did have him, he really became a sort of a very much a valued part of the family.
I like to finish each guide dog story on this, because I think it's a nice informal way to do it. You know, all dogs have their own quirks, funny habits, little funny things they do that are just adorable. What were some of Gibson's funny quirks and habits?
Well, yeah, because I think our connection, Gibson would have this thing where he would lay on me. And he was a very big dog, very big dog. So much so that we actually broke my armchair because he used to come on me and lay on me every night. And that was his thing. He had to do that. Again, guide dogs will probably frown on that kind of thing. But, you know, obviously as a guide dog owner, it was lovely, you know, to have him, particularly when it was cold and freezing. I had the best, you know, the best warmer possible, a big old dog that used to come and, you know, jump on me. And he was just really a very, you know, like caring dog. And I think emotionally, it was very noticeable. He picked up on my behaviour. So if I was sad, it'd be the dog that would come over and sit by my feet, and then, you know, lick me and, you know, sort of nudge me to get me feeling happier kind of thing, really. So he was very an emotionally connected dog, which made it, you know, lovely to spend time with him, basically. So he was lovely, and he was fantastic with the kids. He was really, really good with the kids. But he did that thing that all dogs do, which was, like, you know, nick their food from their hands and things like that. I used to, you know, love playing games. We used to enjoy playing games with him where we put stuff on the floor. And, you know, my son, he's the cleverest dog in the world, because he could answer questions by depending on where he went. So he's like reading the future, you know. Dog, you know, biscuit A for this or biscuit B for this. And they insisted that he knew what he was doing. I don't think he did, but they went along with it. One other thing, actually, that I did actually not say about Gibson is he was also a star on TV, because I was on Come Dine With Me, and he came on Come Dine With Me, and it was on TV just after he passed away, and they did an in memory of him, which was actually lovely as well. So we've always got on the memory of Gibson from when I was on TV.
Fantastic. Well, Gary, he sounds adorable, Gibson does, and we'll hear about your other dogs next time here on Guide Dog Blogs on RNIB Connect Radio.
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.